This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
If you want to go wash, now what are you going to use? If you want to cook soup, now what are you going to use? If your head is hot, now what are you going to use?
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday the 27th of September 2021 and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. I want to say good morning to my producer Arlington. Thank you for finding that track quickly for me. Water, no God enemy. Say, what you gonna use? I bet you ain't gonna use the water that was on Bay Street Saturday. But I can tell you why you ain't gonna use it. Because you didn't have the forethought to make sure you could capture the water to use it. That's why you can't use it. Anyway, good morning, Bahamas. I say, that was Fela Kuti, a legacy of a musician, African giant. I there are not enough words. But it's more importantly, it's the song. Water no God enemy. Yeah, so you want to cook your soup, what you gonna use? These are the important questions that we have to ask ourselves. And after Saturday's adventures in kayaking and jet skiing on roads meant for cars, I thought this is an important thing to open up the week with. There's plenty of politics out there, but ain't nothing more exciting and urgent than the politics of water. Trust me. So I want to say good morning. Good morning to everyone, including all the fancy law firms that allow their clients and staff to park on the sidewalk, forcing pedestrians to walk in the road filled with water. And to the police to drive past and ignore it. Good morning to all of you. I'd also like to say good morning to the officers assigned at Bay Street Medical. It appears we are paying you to obstruct traffic and let cars park on the sidewalk. I thought we were paying you to do the opposite. That is my bad, but I say good morning to you. Anyway, I also want to say good morning to all those Bahamians that thought the safest way to navigate the floodwaters yesterday was with their phone in their hand. Sorry, on Saturday. Let me show you a vibe. If we had an app. See, if we had an app that you could use on your phone while you were driving to help you navigate flood waters during spring tide or any time where you could expect high tide, I would still tell you you got to use that app hands-free.
And your phone got to be waterproof.
Good morning, Dr. Ancelino Davis. How are you this morning?
I'm well, thank you. Good morning.
Absolutely.
Good morning.
Pull the mic up for you. I've
Good
invited.
Morning. Good morning.
Dr. Davis here to help us get a grip, an understanding of what happened on Saturday, why it happened, and what we could do in the short term and the long term to prevent it from happening or to deal with it in a more effective and efficient way. Good morning, Dr. Davis.
Good morning. So there's all kinds of things, but everything happens in a place and a time. The place is Bay Street. That used to be the water. So that already was a problem. They just filled that in. And so that ain't no land supposed to be there in the first place. So Mother Nature doing what she doing. And we think we smart. And so that's the main problem. And the history of it is that used to be the, you know, the rich folk, they said they wanted property on the shore, but they didn't want to be dealing with over the hill people. So they just make some new land after they dredge out the harbor, right?
Okay, so give me a, so first of all day Sunday, I said to myself, I don't want to talk about climate change first, because we always just jump to climate change. Because I remember that all of the a vast majority of this land, that people young like me, 45, we think that this land always been here. But Dr. Davis, can you give us a sense of where the land, it's called reclamation, right? Like where the land stopped originally and what is added on?
Right. So basically, if you look at Bay Street, a lot of that Bay Street area, that downtown area, if you standing on Bay Street, the north side used to be ocean.
Okay.
So just consider that. And then when you standing in Bay Street, just think, like picture it in your mind. You notice like Rawson Square is kind of low, or where the Parliament and stuff is kind of low. And the other side, the north side, is kind of high. Because if you going to reclaim some land, you want to build it up, and you have enough knowledge to know, like, hey, I don't want my place to flood, so I'm going to build this up, so now the water's going to run inside these other people's yard. Like, I mean, that if I was a big wig rich dude back in the day, that's what I would have done. All right. if I had the allowance to do that,
without appearing as if we are casting blame on older generations of Bahamians, right?
Okay, we can pull back on that.
Right. No, if it's reclaimed land, you would have thought that people would have said, hey, we have to take steps, we have to put in place infrastructural means, systems to ensure that the water doesn't come back and reclaim what was once hers.
Well, remember, reclaim, I think that's the wrong word.
Okay.
So let's say colonized.
Oh.
So let's colonize the ocean, right?
Okay.
And so we're going to take that over, and our view is that we want something. It's not that we want the best for the environment or community around that. So they weren't thinking in those terms. But land was of a premium, and land next to the harbor was of an even higher premium. So if you could get permission to make your own land and as much of it as you want,
mm-hmm.
and then in turn sell, rent, or loan that land to your friends and stuff, that gives you an exorbitant amount of power and opportunity. And you, in that case, you are not necessarily thinking about any of the natural resources or the accessibility to natural resources for any other Bahamian, particularly the ones who live over the hill, who might have come down to that bay to go fishing or anything mm-hmm. in the past. You're thinking about the value of this land that you're going to create. And that's a really different situation. And that doesn't really have to do with environmental climate change. There's a political climate change. There's an economic climate change that we're going through now as well. And all of these things feed into, like you said, there's a lot of politics around water. There's a lot going on around water. Working now with Israel and Grand Bahama and Abaco and making sure that people have access to sustainable, clean drinking water after Hurricane Dorian, that's a really powerful project.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wrapping it up now, but there's so much to be said about water and these storms that we're having now and what that means for us in our communities.
And also so much to say about how we think about water and storms. Because in my left eye, I see heartache, I see destruction, I see devastation. But from my right eye, I see opportunity to revamp, to redesign, to do something different with what we've learned from the devastation and destruction. But listen, let me invite the audience to join the conversation. Our text line number is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. And so I'm inviting the audience to call and share. In fact, call and mark yourself safe from the great flood of September 2021 in New Providence. And I say New Providence because it wasn't just Nassau Town or Nassau City that was flooded. And when I ventured out into the roads, I was on a rescue mission on Saturday. When I ventured out into the roads, I hit the top half of the island first. I thought I could be, you know, I thought if I headed south from there, I'd be safe. I was incorrect. I was not safe. So if you are safe, if you marked yourself safe from the great flood of September 2021, call in the show and tell us what you did. If you got trapped in those flood waters and you were able to navigate your way out, please share with us so we will know what to do next time to prevent our car from floating and bubbling rather than driving and steaming through the water. Also, I would love for older Bahamians to share their experiences of flooding and where flooding traditionally occurred, because I think that one of the factors that we have to consider is construction and development and urban planning, or a lack thereof, you know, or to question what elements are missing from our urban planning platform. But I see we got two callers on the line. Let's see what these callers are saying. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
Good morning, Sparky.
You know, I listen to you talk sometimes. We take a lot for granted. Growing up, you know, I always love to hang around older people than myself. Because listening to them, I used to learn so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to learn, one of the things I used to learn, not necessarily academics, you know, but how they used to talk about the good old days and what was here and what was there and who worked over there and who worked over there and who helped build this and who helped build that. A lot of the young people now, when you talk to them, man, carry all the old people here, Dad. You stand in front of the public, come to you, hey, Dad. Hey, well, look at me, look at you. I'm your dad, man. I don't have nothing to do with your family, okay? Don't call me Dad. Call me Mister if you don't know me. That's what old people say.
Sparky, how you think the women feel when they call us Mom? These guys, these young boys, them start calling me Mom.
Yeah, well, ask them, look at me. Look like me and your pa been together. Me and you and your pa can't be related, because you ugly and I'm not ugly.
Thank you,
Sparky. Only ugly people that make ugly children. But anyway, let's go talk to say, a lot of Bahamians don't understand when you talk about land.
Uh-huh.
A pastor the other day called them, was texting me, came on my group, and he said, Sparky, we got to stop cutting down these hills because of an hurricane come, this and that. And I said, Pastor, let me answer something. You have a beautiful house up in the winter, and this and that. And I said, yeah. I said, when you was building the house, where you get the fill from? He said, man, I pay the trucks to bring the fill. I said, where you think the fill come? Mm-hmm. The same hill you said they'd stop cutting down? That's where your fill comes from to build. You're putting your foundation and build your house, right?
Right.
So once your house gets built, everything's all right. Once your house finished, then stop cutting the hill. Right after they finish your house, stop cutting the hill. When Miss Green want a house built, don't come. Where she can get her fill from?
Exactly.
Import fill from there. Andres ain't got no hill. Some islands on here ain't got no hill. A lot of people don't realize there's a ridge running along the east coast of the train because over Bay Street side and then over the Valley side, there's a ridge running from Vinton Street down to almost Lifet Key.
Yeah.
And all those doggone roads like Mackey Street, Collins Avenue, all them things, if you look at the side of the road when you're going over the hill, you can see they cut through the hill, right?
Yeah.
To make easy way from the north to the south of the New Providence. You ever notice most of the elite and the rich people live on the north side of the ridge?
That's why I thought they call it over the hill, Sparky.
Yeah, see, why people think over the hill is only over East Street Hill? Any side over the south side of the ridge is over the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Over the hill, Fox Hill side on the south side, that's over the hill too, you know.
I know.
Nassau Street is over the hill. The valley is over the hill. Everything on the south side is over the hill.
Thank you, Sparky.
Gambia and thing.
Thank you, Sparky.
This is a really important thing that he just brought up.
Yeah.
We're cutting into these hills and how we develop the hills. So in the past, you had all kind of bush on those hills, right?
Yeah.
And when the rain fell, the rain would get caught up in the leaves, run down the trunks, get caught up in the roots. The roots of those plants would take up some of that water. Now, pavement don't take
absorb
up any water
like that.
So all the water that falls on Hawkins Hill it has to run down into Palmdale, or it runs down to Bay Street.
And I was going to say, that's one of the places where I found unexpected pockets of water.
And the thing is, it's not that the ground can't absorb the water. It's that it can't absorb it fast enough. Every cycle in nature has a timeline that it has to work on. You can't get a coconut tree. You can't drop a coconut today and expect a coconut tree with 50 coconut on it tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't expect to dump 8 million gallons of water on Bay Street and have it gone in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I just want to put the side note in here. You can't beat your urine every day, twice a day, and expect the message to pour in.
Yeah, right? let's talk about the culture. Like everything that we do, we're abusing our future citizens by not taking care of our natural resources right. today. And that includes the land, the groundwater and all of that
stuff. Not being mindful and practicing spatial awareness, because that bridge, like as a child growing into an adult, that's always been present in my mind. In fact, I wanted to live on the ridge, right? Mm-hmm. And now I realize that I do live on a part of the ridge, right? That's been cut down a little bit. I still live on that ridge, but anyway, it's such an exciting thought. I got to hold it. I got another caller on the line. Okay, Dr.
Yeah, let's say this caller.
Yeah. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Okay, this is talking voice along with you and your guest, Aaron. Pretty agreeing.
Boy. Look here. The whole Hasty Hannah Tynes clan. Got a problem with this soon. How you doing, Raymond?
I'm holding, thank God.
Blessings.
Much the same to you. Thank you. What I want to ask your guest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bay Street on the northern side of Bay Street. Government-owned acres of that land. Now, let me ask you something. The portion of which government-owned, is that accreted land and also...
You mean acquired land?
No, fill-in.
Okay.
And also, where those houses and shops are at, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they be contributing to... To global warming? That's two questions I would like for you to answer for me, please. Thank you. I'm going to hang up and listen.
So my first response when people say government land or government things, I always disagree with that, because the government don't own anything. They hold it in trust for the people, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not knowledgeable enough about the delineations of those property boundaries and who owns what and where for me to say what the government owns or doesn't own. But in terms of reclaiming land or colonizing the ocean, when we do that, yes, we do have an impact on climate. All of the plants that were there that would have been absorbing the carbon dioxide from the air, particularly the mangroves, which are amazingly biodiverse, all of the birds, butterflies, bees, all the fish and the sharks, the conch, the lobster that would have lived in there, they would have held carbon in their bodies that would then not be free in the environment to increase global mm-hmm. warming. And on the grand scale, the Bahamas and our little piece of Bay Street, that isn't a significant portion of it. But then on the political arena, when our Prime Minister, Brave Davis, went and spoke to the United Nations, and he tells them mm-hmm. in no uncertain terms that, hey, the Bahamas is at, you know, we're at risk from all of these climate impacts, and we're not causing the major problems, but we're going to be the major victims. So in the future, it would behoove us for us to lead by example. You know, they say a child shall lead them, and you can interpret that as the weakest or the least empowered does the right thing in a public setting and shows the bigger players this is how you should be acting.
Mm-hmm.
And we as Bahamians, we know that when there's a hurricane or a storm, our coastlines are going to be ravaged. So perhaps we shouldn't be destroying our mangroves and coral reefs.
Absolutely.
Perhaps we should be protecting that.
Absolutely. We got to go to a break. Call, if you could hold the line, please hold the line. If not, call back after the break. You are tuned into Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, so don't turn that dial. We will be right back. You're on the clock with Aaron Green and my guest, Dr. Ancelino Davis.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. Go out the 242. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell Bella. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you?
You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. If you were tuned into my little Facebook feed, you may have heard us talking in the break. I don't have seven jobs for Dr. Ancelino Davis, the man with 17 jobs already. But I have a brief message for you from the Department of Inland Revenue. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And they are reminding you about the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. You still have time to save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways. One, bring your account to zero. Two, get a payment plan. This offer ends September 30th, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778, toll free. Again, this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Welcome back, Dr. Davis. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
Absolutely. So I got a couple of things to talk about, but I know we had this caller on the line. Caller, giving you a second. You're on the clock.
Hello, Erin.
Good morning.
Morning, darling. You to you and your guest. I got a quick situation. Boy, them beachfront property, remember them front property used to look so good and so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But now, with all the conditions, the weather conditions and all the flooding over the hill, I live on the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them conditions with flooding and stuff during hurricanes and swell tides and stuff like that. In addition to living on Fort St. Castle with a water tower, 66 steps, the Queen's Staircase Hospital, and now the American Embassy is my neighbor.
Yes.
I want your guest, the property would have gone for like $180,000 prior. I want your guest, you and your guest, to try to assess what you think the value of my property would be. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, yeah. It used to assess at $180, and now you next to the U.S. Embassy? Buddy. I imagine you getting up right now, you could pull a good 260 on that easy right now.
I'm not going to venture any guesses in terms of your property value, but I do know that there's a lot of work now to assess the flooding regime and the flooding patterns in the Bahamas to see what areas are low-lying and at risk for storm events, major storm events. Kudos to you, sir, for finding that that property or having access to that property that is far and wide, kind of free from those risks. But yeah, we need to start doing this on a national scale and Caribbean-wide, saying, you know, what areas are low and at risk for flooding, which areas don't have mangroves nearby to reduce the storm surge. Let's start talking about that really actively and engaging, and let's get our insurance companies to be able to look at that and say, hey, your property is going to be, you know, more at risk, and so you need a different type of insurance, or we need to engage with proper flood insurance in the Bahamas. And then when you go to purchase a property, you need to be able to see that on the map. How low is this property? How much will it flood with the next 6 inches of rain? And how much will it flood at 6 inches of rain on a spring tide?
Absolutely. So listen, when our prime minister speaking in the UN, you know, says that this is, he says, and as a matter of priority, more innovative financing and debt solutions are needed, including debt for climate adaption swaps, right? We also look forward to the capitalization of a Caribbean Resilience Fund. We also need adequate resourcing and timely access to the Green Climate Fund. But he emphasizes that we need the global community to step up, right? One of those things is we need the global community to allow discourse, right? To allow interrogation of insurance practices globally. So people would say, hey, oh, wait, you in the Bahamas? Maybe we should provide you with flood insurance. Maybe we should do that. Maybe you're battling sea level rise. Maybe we should seriously consider this as a part of the policies and packages that products we offer to you.
Yeah, and maybe let's think about if you're going to open a major tourism development on a family island. You need to say this is the impact that we're going to have on flooding in the neighboring area. So this is
Is that not already included in the environmental impact assessment?
It is. It should be included in a good environmental impact assessment, but right now the environmental impact assessments, they're not all consistent. And if you followed me for a while, you know that I'm often on those environmental impact assessment calls with the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, and those are open to the public. So any of your listeners who are interested in what goes on in them, just follow the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, and you can come and join one of the meetings, and you can read the environmental impact assessments. But those are not consistent across the board, and they often don't include enough of the local perspective to say this is what our neighborhood does, and if you cut down this wetland, my farm is right next to that, and stuff like that. And so I think big developments need to consider that. But also, when the government makes a big policy decision or a contract decision or allows any use of our natural resources, if you mine for aragonite or if you cut a marina, you affect the groundwater table, you affect flooding opportunity. If you have right now the Hurricane Ida, when that went through the U.S., that set off the largest number of oil spills visible from space in history. So imagine if we had maybe someone gave permission for someone to go do an oil exploration out next to Andres. And so you have to think about all of these things in terms of what is our actual climate situation before you offer any opportunity for development or stuff like that.
Because listen, and wow, Ida, the largest number of oil spills visible from space.
Visible from space.
All right, let me just stick a pin there. I see we got a caller on the line, and then I got two other things to talk about, including which ministries do we turn to or have some degree of responsibility or liability to deal with all of these sort of multifaceted factors, right, that either impact sea levels or impact our response to sea levels. But see, let's go to this caller. Caller, you are on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Bubba.
Good morning.
You know, morning. I don't want to sound negative, right? But talk is cheap, you know, because, okay, in the Bahamas, we built these hotels on the waterfront, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do damage to it, right? And you know, and see, it begins with us, you know? And us, the biggest thing we do in the Bahamas, I guess, in Nassau, is with the thing in the parking lot at that 3 foot center.
The solar installation, yeah.
Right. We have many parking lots in this Bahamas. So, there's an excuse for the land. As well as we go in Gladstone Road, you know, on the wetland, all that. That from Gladstone Road to the airport, all that is wetland. You know, we go there and we develop it.
We have
for our interest and the interest of the foreign investor. You see, and then we go and then we go and we beg for funds in the international community. We beg for
to fix the problems we didn't have to cause.
Pardon?
I said we beg for money to go fix the problems we didn't have to cause.
Right, we're contributing to it too. You see, we look for funds and choose to tax ourselves.
Thank you very much, caller.
You know, we need stuff, man. You know, we need stuff. You see, anybody can write a speech, but you know, anybody could deliver a speech. You know, but we gotta deal with our options, man. You know, thank you.
Thank you. And that sort of leads to the same question, but not just which ministries have a role to play, but also what mechanisms do we need emanating or coming from the private sector and from civil society, right? And at the community level, do we need to provide both short-term and long-term or mid-term, let's call them mid-term solutions to these problems. Already, I am on my list of cabinet members and ministries. I highlighted the top, the Minister of Works and Utilities have to be involved because we're not just talking about a lack of maintenance of drainage systems. We're talking about what appear to be ineffective drainage and road systems at this point.
Well, actually, so my mom's house has flooded 3 times in my life.
Okay.
Right? And we live in Winton. And a lot of people think like, oh, Winton immune because they think that's the affluent area. But we live in over the hill Winton,
uh-huh.
Right? On the low side.
Right.
And it always used to flood. But this last time when I returned home, I realized that they had installed drainage.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, all through this island, there are little valleys.
Right.
And so if you live in that valley, the water's going to pool in there unless it can get out into the next valley next door.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then you could spread it out.
Right.
And so what they did was they made these drainage systems that just basically connect to the next valley over. And so everyone gets to share the water
right.
instead of it sitting in one space.
And damaging both right. your sort of whatever little agricultural and flora you have going on there and infrastructure, water spread, now you get better access. Is this water going back into water tables?
Yes, it eventually goes all back right. into the water tables. But yes, so the Minister of Works and Utilities, definitely on the top of the line for mitigating the flood waters when they happen.
Right. Can we capture this water for drought times or to send to islands that experience drought?
Most definitely. And that's one of those things where you just mentioned, how can the private sector get in on it? And
uh-huh.
how can Bahamians get into it? All of your roofs, if you had rainwater catchment like the old people used to have,
uh-huh.
and you drain that into a cistern, any water that's in your cistern next to your house isn't on the ground flooding your yard.
Right.
Right? And all of these roofs that we have in the country, if you just look at the roofs that we have on public schools, we could put solar panels on them and we could run most of the communities around those public schools. And those solar panels, they waterproof. The water could run off them just like any regular roof. And you have rainwater catchment in the schoolyard with an appropriate treatment facility. They installed some in Abaco, and Friends of the Environment in Abaco, big shout out to for them helping to do that type of stuff with the international NGOs. But Doing these types of things make our communities resilient and sustainable in the face of climate change.
Now, here's how I know it's more than just springtide. It's more than just lack of maintenance on drainage systems, right? Mm. Mackey Street between Rosetta and KFC.
Okay, I got the map.
Right, so as you're approaching Commonwealth Bank and you get down into that valley, right? Mm-hmm. I never seen that level of flooding before, not in recent. I don't ever remember seeing it that flooded. If anybody has in recent memory seen that level of flooding in that area, that is, and you weren't on the island. Apparently, this guy was safe somewhere else.
I was in the forest in Long Island looking at flamingos. I was in a different wetland in Long Island. I just shout out to the folks on Long Island. Y'all got some awesome people working over there in y'all Ministry of Tourism. Dawn Simmons showed us exactly where to find these flamingos. Oral is over there working. So
hold on, Oral Neely?
Lockhart.
Oral Lockhart. I'm looking for one QC buddy who work with the environment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, us comets be everywhere.
Yeah, well, us sockers too. So I like how we're sitting across the table from each other, but we got this good
energy. Yeah, no, man. Good morning to all the sockers out there.
Good morning to all the comets out there.
There you go. Right. I see we got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
I'm okay. Good morning to your observing guest, very observing guest.
Good morning.
Yes. Hey, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
I learned a story my sister told me, right? Mm-hmm. What my uncle told her, right?
Mm-hmm.
You realize that all the downtown, like Bay Street, all that was used to be like mush land. And I'm talking about like where mangroves were, and they used to swim from there all the way to Cable Beach before they filled it in and all that. When you made for development, that's where we are paying the price now, because all the runoff and all of the natural, like the veins that would take that water and push it to the other side of the island or out to sea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the veins have been closed off years ago. I mean, I never experienced it. My uncle then my sister told me just must be about a month ago that he told her that story. I mean, like, he's talking about Nassau, and from Nassau was one time ago, because all of their base feeders, they fill that in, man.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
So, enjoy.
Thank you so much. In fact, listen, you tell your sister she needs to start documenting that, or she needs to call me so I could interview her.
I need to talk to my uncle, man, because he's still alive.
Oh,
you know, he's well cognizant of the past and everything, and, you know, he's...
I'll pay for the tapes.
You do
the recording, I'll pay for the tapes.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's important for us to know, even right down to that Sandy Port development and all of that, you know, we got the flooding comes in, because that vein of water ran all the way there and beyond.
Yes, you know? Sir.
But one thing, Aaron, before I go, I learned yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
You realize that Lake Cunningham has a flesh-eating organism in it that you can't go in there to swim or anything anymore?
Well, I'm going to let the good doctor, because my grammy told me if you go in the lake, then your man will try marry you, and I just stay out the lake. I figured that was good enough reason to stay out the lake.
Hey, Aaron?
Yeah.
If you notice the persons who were out there was some people out there who used to be canoeing on that lake right there on the airport when you're driving, right?
Yeah.
And they moved because of, you know, there's a fleshy eating organism there. And in closing, that body of water by Goodman's Bay, it's an eyesore. You don't know what's in that. I mean, it only came there since Bahama was built. I mean, I don't know why it's choked off, because the first portion there after the Prime Minister's office, that was strength. I'm talking about pristine blue, like the ocean.
Man, you're blocking my hustle. As soon as tourism pick up, I gonna have a business. I diving up golf balls. And it can be
you can't go in that water.
The Black Lagoon. I gonna have a full wetsuit, dry suit even. But you're telling me the water is toxic.
If you go in there, you may not come out. You may come out just as born. I don't know what I never see a body of water.
Well, listen,
like water
I get another call
or someplace like that.
Listen, okay. I get another call on the line, but fortunately, I got an expert in the room, and I can let him respond to that, because my science is a little different than his.
All right, so definitely sometimes we hear like a small amount of science, and then it gets kind of blown out of proportion.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of different things in the blue holes and things around these islands,
uh-huh,
because we've been mistreating them.
Right.
Right, and you're... You go to the Blue Hole by, is that Aaron Bailey?
Yeah.
People used to be swimming in that all the time. But now it has a lot of, like, really bad stuff growing inside there and living inside there. And so you don't want to be swimming inside there.
Right.
And, you know, there have been, like, bodies and stuff like that. People put all kinds of waste inside these
Can we fix that? Can we bring it back to its as close to its original state as possible?
A lot of things, once you get an organism established, especially a noxious organism or something like that, it's virtually impossible for you to remediate that without really destroying that like blue hole or that water resource anyway. But one thing that we need to do is education. And I see in your list of ministers highlighted, you didn't highlight the Honorable Glenys Hannah-Martin.
No, but if you look at the bottom of the list, I highlight Zane Lightbourne. Because he's the minister. She could be busy with one part.
Technical and vocational.
Right. We can put him on the board. Plus, he's from the Eleuthera.
Yeah.
And they have Blue Hole in Eleuthera. And, right?
But mommy just tell me, Glenys Hannah-Martin is our cousin. So
I mean, she's our cousin too.
But education thing. We need to educate people. A blue hole isn't infinite. And when you throw anything on the ground, in the bush, in the ocean, in the Bahamas, that's coming back into your water system.
All right. I see we got a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Erin Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, sir.
Now, it is how you build these days. Like my mother house sits in Benjamin too. From 85, she was there. Our house was never flooded. The people house, three blocks high.
Mm-hmm.
south of the hill. Now, the yard been flooded, neighbors been flooded, but not our house. But she built high. And our house is on 3 feet of land. Whole land is that much water. Sometimes. But you have to build high, that's all. And you build, don't build flat on the ground.
Absolutely.
Pardon me?
I said absolutely.
Yes, because it'll cost you more in fill and in concrete, but in the long run, the house will never be flooded. Getting back to the ministry, what do you think of our prime minister at the UN? I think it was a great speech. He memorized his speech. I was shocked that our prime minister finally could memorize his speech. And of course, it worked hard to carry him there.
But what about what he said? Don't mind the flub. I didn't think it was sharp enough. But then I sit on an extreme. I got an extreme bias with this subject. I thought he should have been firmer with the international community.
Yeah, maybe better. Remember, this is a 9 day. This man worked hard for 9 days. He didn't sleep. I saw Barbados prime minister. He's a one woman band.
That's right.
Government minister, do you know who he runs?
Prime Minister
Motley. Yeah. He is Minister of Finance, Minister of National Security, Minister of Investment, Minister of Public Service. He got some power. She ran the show. He read a speech off of a smartphone. It was kind of awkward, but it slowed her down.
Mm-hmm. She had a lot to say, and I appreciate it, because some of the things she had to say them precisely. When you,
but she'd been there before. It was 5 days, 9 days. In office week. So next year, I would hope he, you know, fall in there better, but I give him props.
That's a whole lot of props you gave him. I'd say that it was a great presentation.
But what we had, the prime minister was working, minister had no ministry.
You can't, pause. You can't make assessments of success and achievements like that.
What has he done to you in 4 years as prime minister? He didn't talk to us.
There's two things. There's two separate situations. I am going to assess Davis differently than I'm going to assess
Prime Minister Davis.
Oh, sorry. And I give you, because, hold on.
That's unclear.
I gotta go.
He's our prime minister. Without prime minister, we pay him $5 to do his job.
Yes, I gotta go, caller. Thank you for that. And let me just make that. I want to recognize that note made by Dr. Davis. Sometimes my political critique becomes critical, and I forget to do some of these things. Prime Minister Davis.
Yeah. So I want to really address with the caller.
Yeah.
That speech. I think it was a well-presented speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Toastmaster, and I heard that the Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis is a Toastmaster as well, and he speaks well.
Mm-hmm.
When your caller just said that he worked nonstop for 9 days, that really upsets me. Mm-hmm. Because no politician, no political party should be sitting on their haunches for 20 years, for 40 years, not understanding all of the ramifications of climate change, the ramifications of unchecked development, the ramifications of oil exploration on our social, our economic, or our environmental systems. You need to be researching that now, and don't wait for the 9 days after you got into power. They should have had a speech running from that time.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's just another level of critique that we as citizens are obligated to give. We're obligated. That's our part of the job. Anyway, you hear that music. It's time for a break. Stay tuned. We're going to close out the show in a few minutes, get to these texts, and get some contact information for Dr. Davis. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM.
J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock the top 4-2. The count depends on you. So tell to the go tell below. Lock it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never play to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions.
Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Let's get to these texts quickly. First text says, Aaron, small countries only have 10 minutes to speak. How much you want Brave to say in that time? Shut up. Wow. Did you just tell me to shut up, Dexter? Wow. Okay, cool. You don't worry about it. Environmentalists have been out here for decades and decades and decades compiling this work. And I'd be honest with you, if those responsible for preparing the prime minister for opportunities like this were really, really entrenched in the work, then you would have found out exactly how dynamic our prime minister could be. Because I'm saying that he is good and the people are good. And if he had just connected better with them, he would have blown their minds, right? That's how Mia Motley became the prime minister that we all want to have and want to be, because she relies on her people to inform her and to feed her discourse. It's not a one-man show, despite it looking like that on the surface. Don't be telling people to shut up, man. You caused me my feelings.
I think some of what I saw in Prime Minister Motley's speech versus Prime Minister Davis's speech is that she came with numbers. And I would have liked to see much more of the numbers in Prime Minister Davis's speech, calling out how many lives were lost in Hurricane Dorian, calling out how many acres of land and what percentage of Bahamian land was impacted by flooding over the last, you know, 5, 10 major storms and climate events. You know, saying really, making that emotional connection. Listen, y'all killing our people with the practices that y'all are doing. So y'all need to make some kind of recompense.
And while we live with the devastation and the struggle of recovery, your business, your international trade keeps moving through the Mayaguana Channel, through the Long Island Channel, through the Crooked Island Channel. Like, your business never stops. And the question is, to what extent are you ensuring that we can recover together? Not just y'all, but we can recover. And I would have loved to have heard Mr. Most Honorable Prime Minister Davis speak to that. This says, Brave didn't memorize his speech. He read off a teleprompter. Well, he did a good job, because I wasn't sure if he was reading from a teleprompter.
He moved around. He had that eye contact going on.
It was good.
He's really fluid.
Oh, another text I heard. That Sandy Port project is arguably the biggest environmental disaster to happen to New Providence. Aaron, I agree the Prime Minister should have been firmer. He seemingly was just happy to be there as opposed to holding their feet to the fire. That way, the way that Motley did, essentially, she said she's not coming back unless she sees substantive change over the next year. You see, if Brave Davis had said the way that y'all invest in finding the cure for male pattern baldness, then he would have come to them hard. Right? He'd come to them hard.
I need to be touching that with a 10-foot pole right now. You see, I don't have that afro I used to have back.
Listen, I want you to know that I am also thinning, so it is not me throwing shade. Good morning, Ms. Green. I did not fully understand what the last caller was saying just before the break. Can you explain? He was cut too quickly. Another part of it is this. Maybe it's just on my side. His call is hard to hear. Part of the reason I cut it is because the call was breaking up. But what he was saying is that we have to stop with the talk. Our government has had enough time to understand the issues and to start putting in place and implementing strategies. He also said that Bahamian people have to stop talking and demand systemic change from the government, but also be prepared to change the way that they live and interact with each other to achieve real systemic and sustainable change.
And the first step, I think, is really educating ourselves and our communities. If you want to learn more about sustainable groundwater management, you can reach out to us at Israel Bahamas on Facebook, and we can give you access to all of the learning modules that we provided to our partners through the WASH program. And you can also reach out to me, Dr. Ancelino Davis, or look up Science and Perspective online, and that should bring me up on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or Twitter. My handle is at Sci Perspective, SciPerspective.
Awesome. Thank you very much. There's so much we had to talk about today. I just want to say to the people who experience problems with their car, go to a mechanic, please. Also, identify if you got gas on Saturday or Sunday, identify the gas station you went to. Go to them and ask them if they have inspected whether they experience any water intrusion in their tanks. If they're unresponsive, go to the Ministry of Transport, lodge a complaint.
You can go to the Bahamas Bureau of Standards and Quality, who they're also responsible for monitoring those pumps. Mm-hmm. And if you want to engage more on this environmental discussion, you can reach out to them to join a technical committee on standards in the Bahamas for whatever your industry is, agriculture, food, farming, fisheries, or the environment.
All right. We got to go. I'm going to get that contact information for that body from Dr. Davis and share it with the audience tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in to this show today. You know that means you guys stay tuned, because Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.